AM 790 Talk and Business presents Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island with your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser. Join Bronwyn to hear about the next water fire event in downtown Providence, plus other great cultural events happening in the community. Now, here's your host, Bronwyn Dannenfelser.
And good afternoon and welcome to Water Fire Ignites Rhode Island, the newest one-hour talk show and entertainment program on AM 790, your station for talk and business. And we are here every Wednesday filling you in on all of the behind-the-scenes things and events happening at Water Fire and some of the other incredible groups that we get to work with at Water Fire throughout the season. And I am here with my co-host, the artistic director, creator of Water Fire. Hi, Barnaby.
Good afternoon, Bronwyn.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. It's a little wet out there.
It is a little wet out there. I mean, and we hit all that traffic on the way and all that flooding. And did you see how high the river was?
The river was amazingly high.
And isn't it funny? Because half the time we don't have enough water in the river to actually navigate.
No. That's another show. We'll talk about that another time. But we've got some great guests here today.
Yes, we do. And, you know, I think we should first start off with last Saturday was probably one of the biggest nights I think that we've had all season. It was amazing.
The number of people. It was a gorgeous night.
Yeah.
And among the lighters were five very special people, and we're very pleased to talk about them today.
Well, that's it. We've got a really, I'm really excited about this show today, Barnaby, because it's all about, you know, we've had the privilege to work with some really incredible groups of people. But the three groups of people that we're talking to today are all, they're all organizations.
They're all changing lives.
They are, yeah. And they're making a difference. And so we're really privileged in this first half to be joined by Raz Rastijan, who is the co-chair of the Initiative to Educate Afghan Women. And I'm going to hope I'm going to say this right, Fereshta,
Student Fereshta, who's someone who just arrived from the United States to go to college here in engineering. So welcome to Rhode Island.
Thank you so much.
Fereshta and Raz, of course, we've known Raz for years. So
thank you for having us. And so, yes, I heard that five of you all lit the fires on Saturday. How did you like it?
It was awesome. It was a very, very good experience.
Oh, great. Well, you know, I think we were so happy to have you there. And, you know, I think maybe what we should do is get a little bit of a background. Raz, can you tell us a little bit about the Initiative to Educate Afghan Women? And really, what is it?
I'd be delighted. It's a nonprofit organization whose mission is to bring about a more peaceful and prosperous Afghanistan through the participation of women. And in turn, that means that what we do is we select very highly qualified women who are smart, ambitious, and brave, like the young lady to my left, and we bring them to the United States for a four-year college education to prepare them for leadership positions, and we supplement their educational experiences with seminars really directed at their being leaders.
And this is the 12th year. What I would love people to know is this is an international initiative that has huge impact on the world. It's based here in Rhode Island.
It's absolutely based in Rhode Island, and proud to be Rhode Islanders.
And it's its 12th year, and you have had 91 students go through the program, which is just an awesome thing to
Correct.
Think
and
about.
In the beginning, any nonprofit has got hope as its major push point. Yeah. But now we have, in our mission accomplished statement, we can say that we have people in Karzai's roundtable. We can say that we've got women who have started schools. We can say that we've got women who are the head of insurance concerns on a regional basis. We can say that we've got people who have started websites, and we have marchers in the street that are boots on the ground.
And I think one of the things Americans need to hear is there are many successes in Afghanistan, and the news tends to cover the challenges.
Yes. And one of the things that I think we and our girls would like is that we start to turn the needle towards accomplishment and happy stories rather than trying to engender pity, because most of these stories are great stories of victory.
Absolutely. And I just like the news here is always about something went wrong down the street, they have to realize that that filter affects the news we get from Afghanistan, because there's some astonishing things going on. And I think this program, it's one of the programs that we've had guests from the initiative at Waterfire 4 or 5 times over the last 12 years, but this is the first time we were able to time it so that you could light the fires. And the fires are a symbol of hope and transformation and change and making the world a better place. So it was just a delight to have you there.
And Varesha, so how long have you been here in the United States? Is this your first year or second?
Yeah, it is the first time that I'm in the United States, and it's almost 2 weeks that we're here in
Rhode
Island.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So can you maybe tell us a little bit, one, what life is like back in Afghanistan, and then two, how important this initiative is and how you actually learned about it and got involved?
Well, first, I had no idea what is initiative to educate Afghan women. I didn't know that such program exists. But once my sister sent me an email, and there was a link there for a scholarship for educating Afghan women, and it was a link for the site of initiative to educate Afghan women. So I applied there, and now I'm here, and I'm accepted, and I'm so happy for that. The situation of education there for women is very bad. However, right now many women are allowed to educate, but there are many, many women who are not allowed to educate, even not in elementary schools. Because we have there a very traditional society, I think Initiative is doing a very great job by educating Afghan women, because when these ladies go back to Afghanistan and have a very successful life there and even do great things, I think they can be very good role models for other people to let their children to educate,
yeah.
Let their girls to improve in education.
Varesha, I'm intrigued that you're going into engineering. That's wonderful. That's so important. I mean, we've got so much to build all around the world, particularly in Afghanistan, though.
Yes, yes.
Well, and I was reading, I know that a lot of your alumni are going back, as you said, and actually helping to, again, kind of improve the situation over there, because it looks like it's radically improved.
It has radically improved, but our eyes lit up like Christmas trees and neon signs when we read that one of our applicants wanted to be an engineer. Because that is the kind of thing that we really want to have happen to Afghanistan.
Russ, let's talk a little bit about that, because I think many people involved in international development are discovering the importance of including women and, in fact, leading with women in changing places. That often the investment in women immediately gets to their children, it gets to the family, and it gets things done. And in areas such as engineering, which are not only an important thing to be done, but also something that's traditionally seen as a sort of male enclave, I think it's absolutely wonderful to have Varesha heading in that direction. But can you talk a little bit? I know in Afghanistan in particular, and in some other countries, there's in certain conservative circles a hesitation to educate women, and it's you're losing half of your population, first of all, but second of all, it is a wall that you can't get around, so it's so important to do.
Well, in the crudest economic sense, you're wasting the talent of half of your population.
Right.
And that has been the subject of many, many topics and many, many speakers, historians, philosophers, educators. Nicholas Kristof probably is the person that leaps to mind as the forerunner in the statistical presentation of the argument for using women in the best of all senses, for their brains, for their resources, for their energy. Educating a woman is one of the first components of reducing maternal labor deaths. It is a very critical factor in the health of children. An educated woman's children will be far more healthy and better fed with scarce resources than an uneducated woman. Education reaches into everything from the education of the child to the sanitation surrounding the child and the importance of words and learning in terms of a child's development and contribution and worldview.
And it sets an example for the daughters to go to school as well. It's planting seeds in so many different directions at once. Roz, is there, can we give a website for people to learn more about the initiative?
Yes, I'm so glad you asked. On that topic, we're just about to launch our new website, and it is IEAW.org.
Because, you know, I've been to several gatherings about this, and we've, as I said, brought you to, had you at Waterfire, but this is just one of those groups of a group of citizens coming together that are having incredibly positive impact on changing the world, and we're so delighted to be help in leading you on your voyage as well.
Thank you.
Yeah, so how do you want to change the world for your state? What do you see as the big dream down the road?
I think the first thing is to encourage women to educate, to know their rights, to protect their rights themselves. Personally, I want to be a successful woman there. After that, when I'm a successful person, people around me, when they see that a girl, a woman, can do something great, can be something someone beneficial for the society or for her family, they will change their mind about the girls in my society.
There's no doubt you're going to be one heck of an inspiration. You already are. And, you know,
thank you.
We were talking before we even came on the air, and you told us what your name meant, and it means angel. And you've got the face of an angel, and you just have the most beautiful eyes, and, you know, it's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I think she's going to light the world on fire.
Oh,
what do you say, Barnaby?
I think she already lit Providence on fire last Saturday.
Yes, she did.
And, you know, which brings us back to Waterfire a little bit. One of the things that we try to do with Waterfire is to build community in the broadest sense possible and to make people understand that they all have a place in community and that they have a place to participate in making the world a better place. And the reason why I had hoped the five of you would join us to light the fires is because you're setting a light in the world and you're setting an example and you're illuminating the possibility of the future. And all of our volunteers and staff and the whole event is about that sense of creating expectation and beauty and peace. So I was, you know, I don't know if you've had any reaction to being there on the boat that night.
It was a very, very good experience for me. First, I did not expect to be one of the performers there, but when I went there inside the boat and everyone was waving their hands toward us and we were the ones who started the fire, and the fires were the thing there that was the most important and made the people happy. So I was a person who became a reason for making other people happy by starting those fires.
What a beautiful thing to say. And you
thank
know,
you, Farishta.
It has been such a pleasure to have both of you here. Thank you for the amazing work you're doing, Roz. And Farishta, yeah, you are going to light that world on fire. Thank you for joining
us.
Thank
you so much.
Thank you
for
very
inviting
much.
Us.